Thank you, Allie. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I know he's here. Praise the Lord. Get him out of here. Me, no. Hallelujah. He is here. Praise the Lord. Glad to see everybody this morning. Welcome. Those watching by social media, happy to have you listening in. And praise the Lord. Is there any testimony that anybody would like to give this morning? Something, is it burning in your heart? You'd like to share something?
Linda got healed this morning.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Just, okay. I come in with a very, very sore back, muscles, tendons, whatever. She prayed over me and I felt
right. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
That's the Lord. Amen. Thank you for being obedient. Yeah.
A lot of times I come in here with sore back muscles, and when he prays up in front, it just goes away. And I don't know why, but it comes back later.
I can't follow you around, but the Lord can. Amen?
Amen.
Bonnie.
Yes. I just want to say that the Lord is good, and I have peace over both of them. I know he is in charge, and he is going to take care of it. And anyway, he's good.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
My friends were in a motorcycle gear accident in Southwest Minnesota on a country road, and they're fine. They got an accident there on a country road. There was a farm place that had an EMT lived there, and the EMTs were having a happen, and they got Glenn and Annette to the hospital, and they are alive today.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Boy, God's timing sometimes. Isn't God good?
Amen.
There's still a couple people I think want to say it, but your heart's thumping too hard. Huh? Anybody else?
Not for him.
You got
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just so thankful to the Lord today. My testimony, user. And I sucked down morphines and Percocets and Vicodins, and I sucked down a bottle of 1.75 liters of Narcan. 12 years, and I thank the Lord.
Praise the Lord, brother. Amen.
And I'm waiting for a while. You guys are here for later.
Amen. Brother?
Shopping one day, my wife was reaching for something for groceries, and my whole arm went up. My hand on my arm, and I said, "Lord, you said that you shall lay hands on the sick and the arm. Stop being numb, just like that."
Praise the Lord.
Well, went there, and they walked in after they took a scan. No brains, but they did find a brain bleed. Now you die from those things, and 2 or 3 days time, it just disappeared.
Amen.
And I was the only person in that ward of where they have died.
Amen.
And God healed me instantly.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, that brain bleed, and I thank
you. Hallelujah. God. Hallelujah.
We thank the Lord too, because we've gone over many miles through many states, going between the house we bought for Mom and Dad back in 2016. We've done a lot of foolish things ourselves, and yet in His mercy and grace, He's always protected us.
Praise the Lord.
And we come home and we see all kinds of miracles happening in our family. We were a little bit concerned about him, and now he's home with his family, thinking of using his GI Bill to go to college, so we're really grateful about that. And Christian College, but we'll see whatever God wants for him. And then we're seeing miracles. Melvin's sister, Lauren Ever, and she accepted an invitation to invitation to come and spend the night. The first weekend we were home with a messy house, you know, and everything in the entryway. But she isolated there. And so, you know, she came to church with us, and she was asking questions the whole time. Maybe you're on Facebook about Protestant churches, you know. How do you do communion? Why do you sing so much? And it's like the Lord's Prayer. We first bless the Lord with our worship and prayer. And that it's a different, that after all these times of recovery and then rebound and recovery and rebound, we think it's there. We're trusting that it's there for her.
Friend that lives in Vermont, northern Vermont by the Canadian border in the mountains. She has a bunch ago, one of these dogs ended up taking off and getting out and being gone. And the dog did not come back. He didn't come back first. The dog had died. But on the eighth day, the dog did come back. He was in bad shape, but within a week, the dog had...
Two, amen. Yeah, come on.
Thank you.
Here. Here, why don't we give it? Is this on, guys? Hello?
Most of you know that we have just moved recently and took a lot of different prayer and thought through five emergencies, three ambulances, right, Mercy here, within a year or 14 months. So the last time it happened, I thought we need to move because our yard is really big. It's made a beautiful home, but it was just too much. So I felt that the Lord said that we should move apart. I just knew I had to be by family because, they're 35 minutes from us. You know, he was 35 minutes, and our other son is like an hour from us. Half it was pretty much sold, and we got a real good price for it. And then, they said, "Well, have you found it?" And I told the Lord, I said, "We need to find a home because we have three weddings this summer, and we're moving. We have to be settled somewhere." So, and somebody said, "You shouldn't say anyway." And we found another house. So we are in St. Francis, Minnesota, 3 weeks now. And on the way to church today, Fred said, "You white and yellow line, and you're there. So we don't have to go freeways or anything." So anyway, I just thank the Lord for providing for us.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Anybody else? Praise the Lord. I tell you, we could do this all. We serve a mighty good God. And he isn't done yet, is he?
No.
Well, I'll tell you what. How many have been noticing all the earthquakes and volcanoes?
Yeah.
Matthew 24:7, Luke 21:11, Mark 13:8 all talk about earthquakes in diverse places. Volcanoes been happening. They're happening. Pan, the day they had their volcano, they had 370 earthquakes on the same day. Talking about one in California all the way up to Oregon, possibly to happen. Do you think Jesus is coming?
Amen.
He told us to watch the signs. We don't know the day or the hour, but things are happening in the world. That's to be excited.
Amen.
Our Lord and our Savior's coming, and it's going to be an incredible time. Lord, we thank you. We pray. Holy Spirit, we ask that you just move amongst us and those on watching on social media today. They're as important as anyone else, Father, and you want to minister to each one of us. We'll challenge people, we'll convict people, and we just commit this time in your word. Let it be anointed upon each one of us today. Open our ears, our to do in each one of our lives, Lord. We thank you. We praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
And look at somebody and say, help me to have a good attitude. So my message today is the power of attitude. Because as long as we're here, we got to deal with all these things in our life, don't we? But God wants us to deal with them scripturally. So I'm just going to kind of go through some things that maybe the Holy Spirit can continue to work in us, that we can be the church. Amen? The devil tries to distract us in many, many different ways through what's happening in the world, and even our attitude has taken a hit. Look at the attitude in the world today. And even I've noticed with Christians that I've talked to who have got really bad attitudes because of what's happening in the world. And we should not have bad attitudes, but we ought to be looking up and rejoicing at these people who are creating a lot of issues and problems in this nation and other nations right now are the very people that God wants you and I to reach. And they might be here. And so we want to, in order to do that, we got to have good attitudes.
Amen.
Amen.
I really believe it. But I tell you what. Jesus is coming, and we need to be prepared.
Yes.
Important subjects we could ever talk about is our attitude. There may be some hard truth in this message today. Some of you may be offended, saying, I'm going to do it faithfully because I believe the Holy Spirit wanted me to speak on attitudes. And again, just so you know, if you're newer here, whenever I preach a message, doing this message here, I looked at it and I said, man, I got to work on that one. So I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. I'm preaching. We're all in this together, aren't we?
Amen.
So how many of you know sometimes we need an attitude check?
Yeah.
It can make or break you. It can heal or hurt you. Make your friends or make you enemies. Make you a success or make you a failure. I was in Cub Food not long ago, and I was walking up there, and the young guy was a cashier, and he had a really bad attitude. Ooh. But you know, I walked in there, and I like to come across people like that. I really do. I enjoy it. But the young guy stood there, swish, 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 and got done, run my card through, handed me my slip. I didn't move. He looked at me, and I said, "Are you having a bad day?" I said, "Because of your attitude." And he said, "Yeah, I do. My girlfriend left me." And I said, "Well, that's too bad. I pray that you're going to have a really good rest of your day." And when I left, I could have had a bad attitude right along with him, couldn't I? And joined him. But God wants to use you and I, even if it's to speak some encouragement into somebody's life. That older people walking around, and I understand it because I'm getting older. The older we get, we have more aches and pains, don't we? Things happen, and sometimes that can affect. But you know something? We do not have to grow old and cranky. We can grow old with a smile on our face in the middle of our trials and our tribulations, and the many people, and we've got them in this church that I highly respect that are going through hardship things. But you know, they always have a smile on their. We're trusting Jesus. And that's an encouragement to me. And I know that young people need to see that too, because young people think, I'm never going to get old. Or you'll get older faster than you think. It's like flipping the page on a calendar. It goes that fast. And so that's why it's important when we, as we grow older, we'll continue that momentum. But life can be a challenge. And it can either make us or break us with our attitude. And we might call it the spirit of pessimism. Ever hear that? Pessimistic about everything. Change your negative attitude to positive one in your home. But change your attitude. Someone had rightly said that attitude, not aptitude, determines one's attitude. And this topic applies to everyone. Because we all have attitudes, and sometimes they're good, sometimes they're nasty. I got my vest on. It's called the armor of God. That the enemy is trying to stop me from doing it. All the fiery darts, I can sense the Holy Spirit here, and I'm shooting away those fiery darts. And he's doing it to a lot of you right now. The enemy's putting fiery. And you got to realize where that comes from. We are in a spiritual warfare. Three facts about your attitude. I put your, but mine's in there too, okay? Fact number one, your attitude reveals the real you. Fidgety, maybe, I don't know. But your attitude reveals the real you. Your attitude is more important than circumstances, what others say, money if you have any, or don't have any. Your attitude is more important than anything else that you have. You understand that your attitude is much deeper, or not think. Your attitude comes out of one, out of the core of your very being. The core of your very being. That's where your attitude comes from. Your attitude represents the character of who you are. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." So, 12:35 says, "A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil." Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, verses 17, 19, "Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly? Out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, blasphemies." And Jesus repeated that, by the way, also in Mark chapter 7, verses 19 through 23. So your attitude always becomes actions or like a jack-in-a-box. Anybody know what a jack-in-a-box is? Most of you? You don't hear much about it anymore, but you know the little toy where you turn the little crank? You go around and goes the weasel. You never know what's going to happen. That's the way our attitudes are. We never know when our attitude is going. All of a sudden, you need to be aware of that. And we can by the help of the Holy Spirit. You see, much louder than the words, what you're really like. Have you walked up to anybody and you could tell in your family, maybe at work, they just got bad attitudes? They're like poison sometimes walking around. They poison everybody they come around because of their attitude. The truth that my attitude reveals the real me. And that can be quite sobering when you think about it. That I'm revealing myself by just my attitude, how I approach people. Or I like to say, like many others do, when I do or say something that obviously wasn't the right thing, I say, "I didn't mean it." And then I say, "Where did that come from?" That's why it came out here. Because it comes from inside here. Matthew 12:34 says, "O generation of vipers, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." What are you saying when you're approached by something? How is your response? What's coming out of your mouth in response to it or your thoughts to it? Wherever it's coming from, the Bible tells me it's coming from the heart. Follow your heart. I say don't follow your heart. The heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? When you feel me. And when you have one that's the real you. Honest with you. That's who I am. Understand, we don't have an attitude just because we had a bad day. All that a bad day can ever do is reveal the response to that day. That's what a day do because you have a bad attitude inside of you. Ouch. So fact number one, your attitude reveals. You disagree with that, and that's fine. But I understand it. Your attitude determines the success and failure of every relationship in your life. It affects every relationship, whether you believe it or not. And sometimes relationships will never get started in the first place because many times your attitude will do that, build up walls, making it difficult for people to even want to be around you because of bad attitudes. Bad attitudes affect your marriage, your kids, relationship with other family members, at work, at church. Wherever you go, your attitude, if you got a bad attitude, it affects the people around you. Is that a bad attitude is eventually going to spill out into some negative action, which it does. Destructive words, deeds, maybe you want to do. How about gossip? You get a bad attitude, you want to say something bad about somebody, you want to spread rumors. God hates that, by the way, when we get anybody, especially within the body of Christ. We got a problem. Jesus tells us how to take care of the problem within amongst ourselves, but I don't read gossip. And the thing that makes a bad attitude so destructive, again, the actions that we may perform. John Maxwell Your pastor, you probably know him too. He says there are seven liabilities for people with negative attitudes. A decision because they're afraid of making the wrong decision. It's called the paralysis of analysis. And things do get worse when no action is taken. I made that comment at a funeral not long ago, too, by people that you have to make a choice in life. And if you don't make a choice, if you don't make the right one. Number two, spread negative thinking. That's what a bad attitude will do. It's contagious, by the way, be miserable as they are. And the cliche is true. Misery loves company. And the older you get, you start knowing that. Blow attitude will blow everything out of proportion. A little thing like that, and they'll make it a big deal. They'll create problems in the church, in the home, in the job, whatever. Well, they're going to let everybody know, and they're going to start spreading negative thinking. And it's going to blow it out of proportion. Little things become big things to the person with a negative attitude. Number four, make their own faith waver and that of others. Someone said, if he never expects to be paid back anyway. Number five, limit God. Paid in building the kingdom of God is what they do is they tear it down with a bad attitude. If they're not happy, they're going to make sure other people are not happy of Christ. And God knows all this stuff. That's why we check our attitudes. Our attitudes are vitally important, even serving the... I know pastors, bad, and the wife. We knew him, my wife and I, had a terrible experience when we first got saved with a pastor and his wife, Pentecostal pastor, again. But we found out how pessimistic they were and negative they were toward the congregation. They hardened their hearts toward their congregation. If I went around and talked to any of you about anybody else in the church, what would that do to you? Every time you saw that person, you would think the same thoughts that I thought. Danger it is when the devil, when we open ourselves up to the devil using us with negative attitudes and negative thinking. Six limits their potential. Henry Ford said, I like Henry Ford. He said this, think you can or think you can't. Either way, you'll. That isn't because I drive a Ford. I just. Dwight D. Eisenhower noted, pessimism it never has. Lastly, number seven, keep themselves and others from enjoying life. Negative people are miserable people. And they almost. It takes work by the Holy Spirit. When we come to Christ, we need the Holy Spirit to help us to maintain good attitudes. People all around us, family members, all kinds of diverse things happen in our life that can challenge our attitude, but we do not have the Spirit, and that's what God is trying to work out in you and I through our attitude. Many times. Willie, this discovery of my generation is that human beings can alter their lives by altering their attitude of mind. Begin to think good thoughts. Begin to think thoughts and do to don't join them. Just like I said about the young clerk in the store. I've had it happen many other places. I love to reach these people because there's a lot of younger people who want to work at $15 an hour. Don't smile. Don't want to acknowledge you. And there's a few of the older ones, but some of them really got bad attitudes. And so I help them have good attitudes before I leave. I had one lad and everything, had a bad attitude. When I left, he was smiling. He left my bananas on the scale, and he thought I was going to walk away without them. I said, can I have my bananas? And he got a big smile on his face. Oh, yeah, yeah. Now, I could have joined him. I hope you come back. Lord willing, I will. Philippians chapter 1, 13. Paul could have said, these are, you don't have to put them up. He could have said, these are prisoners in chains. But instead, Paul said, I am in chains for Christ. He or anybody else, he said, I am in chains for Christ. Philippians 1:17, Paul did not say, I am on trial for my life. He said, I am put. He had that mindset, that attitude. He always thought God thoughts. How can I reach somebody? How can I minister to somebody? How can I encourage somebody? That was his attitude. Even when he had all kinds of problems, beaten, shipwrecked, all the things, thrown in dungeons. And I'm sure it was a challenge to him, no doubt. Ephesians 3, prisoner of Rome. He could have said that because he was. But you know, when you get into the Word, you know what he wrote? He said, I am the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ and everything. And that's who maintained his good attitude, because he always focused on Jesus. You can never trust people with a bad view. And boy, I've learned that in the last 15 years. I don't trust people with bad attitudes. Reasons, but out of a bad attitude. Often the things that we criticize and get all stirred up about are not the problem at all, to be honest with you. Amen?
Amen.
You got to tell it the way it is.
Yeah.
I said amen when I put it down. Destroy marriages, and I have. Families, I've watched bad attitudes destroy families, how they treat each other, how they talk to each other. It's critical. Bad attitude, their wife happy.
That's right.
And the wife was not created to make the man happy.
That's right.
I've watched it destroy families. I've watched things through my life, work life, businesses being destroyed because of attitudes of people. Pretty soon he's got a whole department, he or she, and they'll destroy a whole department within a business. I've watched it happen. That's why you get rid of the poison. It either can snore. Board meetings. I've been in board meetings. Competition should never be a competition in the body of Christ. But those two would change a whole board's attitude. The Holy Spirit already knows every one of your thoughts, what you're thinking about what I'm saying right now. And some of you don't care less, and you just might not. I hope you all do. But the Holy Spirit already have about what I'm saying right now, if there are any. Or if you're dwelling on something else. He knows. That's why it's silly to try to hide anything. Amen. Whenever you have an individual or a group of people filled with bad attitude, trouble is bound to happen, and things will rapidly get negative. That's why you nip it in the bud if you find out. Always your choice. And I know it is. I know sometimes when I got a bad attitude, and I know that I got to speak to myself and say, Lord. And that takes work. I need the Holy Spirit, amen?
Amen?
Without a doubt, the human mind is the most awesome creation of God, and it is. With a focus on positive thoughts or negative thoughts, we can make that choice every single day, and we do. Positive or negatively. In every one of our, which one we will focus on and feed, nurtures us. Which one are you going to focus on? Understand, you can't choose what will happen, but you can choose your own attitude. We each have the power to decide how we will respond to what happens to us. Maybe you're having a bad day. Bite at them and snarl at them. You could look at them and say, yes, I am, but I'm trusting Jesus today. I need his help today. That's what we do. Dr. Viktor Frankl, Austrian philosopher, I looked him up in the Gestapo court in Nazi concentration camp. Soldiers had taken away from Viktor every possession that he owned. Watch, even his wedding ring. And as Dr. Frankl stood before those cruel men, men who tried to take every ounce of dignity from him. At that moment, Frankl said that he realized he was destitute. No one could take away from him, not even the Nazis. His attitude. He still had the power to choose that attitude to his enemies. He didn't give it back to them. He chose joy. He chose hope. And he chose to be positive. Boy, it makes me think of when Jesus hung on the cross. Beaten. Beyond even recognition of a human. Stripped naked. Beard torn out. Crown of thorns stuck in his scalp. Blood running down, bones not broken. And he hung up there and he said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He kept a positive attitude. He didn't change his attitude in the cross. I'm going to blink him away. Make him disappear. But he did not. He said, Lord, forgive him. He maintained that attitude through us. Every human being he looked at with value. And he was treated how? How did they treat Jesus? They hated him. They called him a drunkard, a glutton. They called him everything in the book. But what did he do? He maintained a good attitude. He's a good example, isn't he?
Yeah.
Look at somebody say, Jesus is a good example. Maybe your life has taken way too many turns for the worse, and things have gone wrong. It seems like everything has fallen right down on top of you. You feel hopeless. Your hopes and dreams are fading fast over the distant horizon in your life. I know from personal experience that it's not walked through many of them. When life hits you on the head, knocks you down, and then kicks you in the stomach, life. But this is our learning ground for heaven. We'd learn to be like Jesus. Satan always sends somebody. But in such times, you must remember that there's something that your situation can never take away from you, and that there's something that not even the Nazis, cerebral palsy, nor paralysis, nor any sickness, or even when you're facing whatever you're facing, can take away from you. I remember my dad when he's dying of cancer. And I think my wife is my, during that whole time. Oh, he didn't want to die of cancer. But he maintained a good attitude. So, no matter what happens to you, some of you, I know, bad marriages, health problems. It's hard to see that happen to the people. It's still yours. We got to take responsibility for it. Amen. And understand that Jesus Christ wants to help you choose and to help you to have that good attitude. He knows when you're struggling. He knows when you're edgy. When you wake up, you ever wake up and say, I don't know why I feel so angry. Jesus knows when that happens. But I have a choice, either stay that way or work out of it. I find it both interesting and tragic that one thing that no person, the awesome power to choose our own attitude. Nobody can take that from you. It's usually the first thing we give away. For your circumstance, it's just simply, but a cop-out is really what it is. Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 and 5. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in my brother's eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine own eye, and behold, a beam is in thy own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the mote of thy brother's eye. Boy, the Lord's got wisdom, doesn't he?
Yes.
That's why we read the word. He can have the Holy Spirit. If we allow events and people to cause us to be negative, we are only hurting ourselves more. Because in addition to everything else, we are forced to live with the effects and the misery of our bad attitudes aren't fun to be around. Your attitude reveals the real you. Determines the success of every relationship that you can take home with you this week. How many want to take something home? It's free. You don't even have to put it in a bag. A more positive person is to work at learning to speak positive words. When you're ready to say something negative, maybe even turn it into a positive. I said learn. We got to learn it. And the reason is because speaking positively is something you must learn by practice. You got to practice it. Practice makes your verses because we need to hear them because we're leaky vessels. It does not come naturally. Always look for something negative, critical. Always say, well, maybe it should be this or it should be that or we shouldn't do that or we shouldn't do that. It's always do that, but say, boy, you know. But why criticize people and tear things down? That's what divides churches. That's what makes look for positive things. There's always something positive. And if you don't see anything positive, there's still something. You can always do that. Proverbs 6:2 says, thou art snared with the word. So many people are snared with the words of their mouth because of bad attitudes. The reality is that you can help create the bad time. And we've experienced that, haven't we, with attitude in our home, in our marriage, in our family, by just being in heaven's fear in the house. But that was by choice. Nobody made us do it. We chose because God gave us that ability. When you're working positive environment. On the other hand, when you speak negative words, even by gossip and rumors, you create suspicion, mistrust, and that's why don't talk about the preacher when the kiddies are around. Don't talk about one another when you leave the church. It'll destroy everybody around you. Those little ears here, and as they get older, their ears are a little bigger. They hear more. And they understand more. I say to Brother Rick over there, Rick maybe said something that I might not agree with. I'm not going to leave the church. I'm going to go, thank you. I appreciate you. You're my brother. We walk away. Choice. I've watched people leave bad attitudes because they disagreed with something or that didn't go the way they wanted to. There isn't a church in the world that you will find on planet Earth. That's why there's so much transition going on right now. People think they're going to find it, and you don't. Yeah. This is an imperfect church because I'm here. You're all here. And because those watching are watching, it makes us imperfect. But we're imperfect people working to be like Christ. Arm and just wave at me so I know. Okay, how about the other one too? Now kind of go a little bit faster. Just a little bit faster. There you go. Doesn't that feel good? The air moving here too. I thank you because I can feel it. I didn't have a fan. That's how I get the fan going here. Very, very close. Death and life speak in relative to eternity. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power. Do you know people with bad attitudes and they try to destroy others and hurt themselves and bring negativity? They destroy themselves because bad attitudes will destroy us within. We can never formulate a relationship with people and churches when we walk around with negative attitudes that you agree with or do everything you agree with. Never. Pray for people. We're to pray. And that's emotionally too. Spiritually. Therefore, the task of the Christian life is to eliminate negative, replacing with positive words, words that build up, edify, and encourage other people. I'm not saying that we can't ever disagree with each other's good attitudes. Because we're never ever going to agree 100%. Beginning today, I dare you try a little experiment with me. I dare you. After you leave here, okay, you hearing this now? It'll be an interesting thing to do. You'll enjoy it. You'll actually enjoy it. At the store, in a restaurant, at work, or at church, try to say something positive and uplifting to a person. Gas station and the attendants there and they're not looking really happy or anything and they ring you up and everything and things go, look at them and say, you know, I appreciate what you do here. Register. They're going to agree with you and they might even bring a smile. I appreciate what you do. Just anything. Whatever comes to your mind that even today, start doing it. If that waitress comes over and slams your dish, pot roast on your table, for bringing it over here. You do a good job. Well, that's not being honest that she threw it down. Well, maybe it is a good job. There's always something positive and good to say to people. And that affects your attitude, too. When you start doing that and looking for ways, maybe the devil will try to discourage you, come along and send somebody, say, hey, you idiot, get out of my way, right after you were nice to somebody else. Like looking at? No, I'm just kidding. In a nice way. Do this for 1 week and see what happens in your life. Just do it. I do it on purpose already. I love doing it. And there's some really, they're a challenge. But if I become like him, what good am I? You'll probably have a great day, people. His glory, and begin to, maybe the things, the trouble in your life might start turning around. Because the Bible says, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and God's work, and he'll do your work. Because positive words create loving, creative environments. Ephesians 4:29, let no that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. The Lord's telling us to do it. Step two, no matter what happens, look for good and that you will find the person. And that's the kind of person I want to be. A positive person is not the one who refuses to recognize the negative. He knows any of them, but I refuse to dwell on them. There's people who are very negative because of what's happening in the world today, and they show it. I know what's happening, and I know who's on the throne.
Yes.
He said these days would come.
Yes.
He gave me a mandate. He said, go out and preach the word of God.
Yes.
People out there doing what they what you and I do if we weren't saved. They're sinning. Remember, there's always the negative and the positive in every person or situation. Looking for the best results even from the worst conditions. It's always possible to look for something good, even when things look really bad. You can always bring the Lord here that you can share with people. And the remarkable fact is that when you look after and seek after good, you're going to find it. For every problem you have, there's a divine answer. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Powerful. Powerful. That's the power of the just words if you just read it. But if you take it and meditate on it, thinking, wow, how many want the peace of God? I just told you how to get it. Don't we? For every need you have, there's a divine resource. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. For every hurt you have, there's a divine healing. Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace. For every weakness you have, there's a divine strength. 2 Corinthians 12:10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessity. For when I am weak, then am I strong. When you do it for the glory of God. That's whatever do you work you do. Do it for the glory. There might be times when you come in, maybe the choir comes in here and they don't feel like singing. The musicians don't play, feel like praying. Maybe I don't even feel like preaching. Maybe you don't feel like you're going to either have a good attitude or a bad attitude. Your choice, my choice. And I say, Holy Spirit, help me today. Because I really don't know the way your prayer should be too. People shouldn't skip church just to skip. It's dangerous. You form a habit. It's easy to do. Ouch. But the Bible has a solution for every problem. Not every problem is addressed specifically the Word of God, but 3 verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path.
Yeah.
Linda, I believe God directed you in Mel's path. All the way from Florida. You made it. We're glad you're here. I can choose to dwell on the bad, the pain, the loss, or I can choose on the focus on the good. The winner says, let me do it for you. The loser says, that's not my job. The winner sees an answer for every problem. The loser sees a problem for every answer. That's true. Called, but it is possible. The loser says it may be possible, but it's too difficult. It's all around us. Work at it. When Jesus comes for his perfect church, it's going to be a church with good attitudes. I believe that. Jesus. He's going to help us maintain a good attitude in the middle of war, in the middle of famine, in the middle of riots within our nation. He will help us start a revival in our neighborhood, in our home, in our work, in our school, because of our attitude, how we approach it. Story, but if you remember in Numbers chapter 13, remember the giants when they came into the land? The spies, they went out, and all they could see is the big, they're really big guys. I don't think we can beat them. The other two come and says, we can take them. Go on into the land of milk and honey. We can take them. You can go to Numbers 13 and read the actual story. Let's apply the principle to marriage. In your marriage, if you're entering just on a negative, you're going to be dissatisfied with your marriage. That's why sometimes it's good to say, Lord, I thank you for my wife. I thank you for her. She's got faults, I got faults. In addition, you'll not bring up the bad attitude. If I speak to her, vice versa. We do once in a while, be honest. Every marriage does. It happens. But when it does, you get try to correct, fall into nitpicking, negative, destructive cycles if you allow it to keep going. How do you break that kind of cycle in your marriage? Start looking for what is good and true, what you loved about them, liked about them, and then when you married them at first, what all the good things. Why did you marry them? Start thanking God for those things and looking for the good things. He hates marriages. But young people, if you're not married yet, make sure you pray and get the right spouse. Be yoked with non-believers. There's a reason God put that in there. If you want things to work out in life, look for the good in every situation and every person. You're going to find it. There's good things. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. This is the belief that even difficult circumstances can even lead to positive outcomes for you and I, for believers. God's got good things for us when we look. It may not happen that moment, but he's going to do it. It's his promise. Step three, last one, there's take charge of your thought life. Thoughts, impure, ungodly thoughts, fearful, anxious thoughts pop into our mind without any cause or any warning. Amen? Boom, they're there. Because this is think on good things. How can we do that? Paul tells us what thoughts should occupy our minds, and it will come out in your speech. If you're having trouble with bad thoughts in any area, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things, think on these things. If there's negative thoughts trying to come in, think on these things. Replace it. If there's something about you're disgusted, you don't listen because you love them.
Yes, amen.
Turn it. Think on things of good report. If your health is not the best, don't walk around mumbling, giving around and saying, Lord, I'm struggling in my health right now, but I praise you for you're my healer. And one day you're going to take this all away.
Yes.
Think on things. There's a law of physics that says two objects cannot occupy the same space at the same time. When applied to your attitude, that your mind at the same time. If you leave here this afternoon, as soon as you get up, before you go out, there might be a negative thought that's going to pop into your mind. Turn it around and make it a positive. I love that, Pastor. I'm analyzing. I'm on the edge of danger. In the same way, when it's not enough, only filter out the garbage from your minds. We almost, Ephesians 4:8. It's right there. God gave it to us. I have the power with the Holy Spirit in me to think on these good things when the negative comes in, no matter what that negative, write it, put it in your billfold, your purse or whatever to remind you, what things do I need to think on right now? Things are coming against me right now. People called me up. Somebody said, you want to get even with them. Say, Lord, touch them. They don't know what they're doing. Touch them. Think on things of good report out. Step four is actually the last one, but it's only a one-liner. Never surrender leadership negative to the leadership. Always look for the positive. You say, I can't do that. Yes, you can. The most negative gave every human being free choice.
Right.
We develop habits. There's no doubt about it. We can break those in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Break every chain. Hallelujah. 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 Thoughts, wrong thoughts, impure and ungodly thoughts, fearful and anxious thoughts pop in our mind without any cause or warning. I want to say that again. They'll just come. He tells us in his word. But in conclusion, when you feel the mighty onslaught of a negative emotion, how do you handle it? Here's what you need to do. It's a bad thought. Face it, but don't give in to it. You see, one way to destroy a negative emotion is to replace love. You have anger, replace it with love. Begin to talk about loving someone. Fear with faith. Fear will destroy faith. Complaining with gratitude. You replace complaining with gratitude. Instead of complaining about your kids, your home, your car, your wife, your whatever, your job that's hard, begin to say, Lord, I thank you for it. Instead of complaining about it, begin to thank God, and maybe the Lord will open a door and move you somewhere else within the company. Complaining doesn't do anybody any good. It only develops bad attitudes. Bitterness with forgiveness. Right away and forgive the person, even if you don't feel like it. You got to say, God, I forgive them. They hurt me tremendously, but I forgive them. I don't want, but I'm going to forgive them because you asked me to do it. And maybe it doesn't come right now, but later on it'll be better felt than told. That's how you do it. Your salvation with fear and trembling, the Bible says. Judgment with acceptance. Instead of judging people, instead of judging one another, we need to be acceptant of people. I accept you. I accept you, everyone in here. I accept you totally different, different ways, disagreements, agreements, whatever, but I accept you. My job is not to come in to judge. I'm only allowed to be a fruit. All my job is not to judge. Feeling sorry for yourself, you can get rid of that by helping others. Right now, emotions. Learn to pray for your emotions. Learn to pray for them. Learn to cry them out and pray them out until you pray through victory, ever get victory. Did you know that Jesus prayed aloud with emotion? He said in Hebrews 5:7, whom in the days of his flesh, when he'd offered up prayers and supplications, with him that was able to save him from the death and was heard and that he feared. Jesus had strong emotions. In other words, Jesus showed. Steve Goodyear, a founder of Life Support Systems, said this, offered this insight. Both the hummingbird and the vulture fly over rotting meat because that is what they're looking for. They thrive on that diet. But the hummingbird ignore the blossoms of the desert. How many want to be a hummingbird?
Yeah.
Now don't come up to me after the service. You got to say that stuff nowadays, don't you? See, the vulture lives on what it was, what is dead and gone. The hummingbird lives on what is. They seek new life. They fill themselves with freshness and life. Let's all stand. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Just before we leave this morning, I just quickly want to do this, and you watching by social media. And myself, of course. Let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart and be honest with yourself and say, I'm one of these deals with a bad attitude. Or maybe it's just once in a while. I don't care. I want us all this again to gather in here tightly is what you go to. And more churches need to use altars, and that's what we've been trying to do here. And if you want to come forward, come on up. I'm already up here with my attitude. I'm including me in this prayer too, because guess what? Guess what, people? I love me. But not that much. Thank you. This is a great place to be in the altar with brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
It really, Spirit is doing work. Whether you think you feel it or not, doesn't make any difference. He does work. Whether we feel it, doesn't mean nothing. You're up here because you say, we agree on that. Amen. We want the Holy Spirit to help us with attitude. And He can. And He will. And by you just coming forward, said, sit in the chair. You're as involved in this, because I know it's harder for some people to move around. So, but I'm going to just pray it out loud with me again. It isn't my prayer. I'm just going to say one. You may have your own, but just say it out loud with me. Let the Lord know that we're a family home. But let's say it. Let's come before Him, because we want to be like Him, because He's the one that's going to change your circumstances. He's the one. And He starts at an altar. Ready? Heavenly Father, let's say it out loud. We come to You in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I ask You to forgive me of my bad attitude that I sometimes have, or I might have. I'm asking You, Jesus, that You forgive me for it. Maintain a positive attitude all the way from Your birth to the cross. That we can do all things through Christ, who gives us His strength. Holy Spirit, help me to be aware. Holy Spirit, help me to turn that bad attitude into a positive attitude. And I need You, Lord, to live out my Christian life, that my life can impact others around me, that they may be saved, that my brothers and sisters, when they come around me, they will sense positive attitude, not a negative attitude. Lord, we want to. So this week, Lord, we're asking You, send people to us that may have bad attitude to them, to encourage them. And Lord, send an encourager to us to help us, to remind us that You are a chain breaker, and Your desire is for us, in Jesus' name. And everybody said again, in Jesus' name. And we believe. Lord, I pray right now, all that are here, Lord, bless them. Touch them. In the middle of their circumstances, Lord, You are going to bring miracles. Impossible. People are walking through things right now. You are the God of the impossible. The devil will come along and try to bring bad attitude and say, not us, it's not. Every good and perfect gift comes from God above.
Amen.
We receive it by faith today, and I pray that over every home, mentally, physically, emotionally, in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray it, I ask it, and everybody said, in Jesus' name. Look at somebody on the way out. This is the fun part. Make sure you greet people who you don't know. Just walk up to them and say, hey, how are you doing? You don't have to bring out a pair. Being in sales, I learned to do that with people. Hi. What's your name? But anyway, look at somebody on the way out and said, have some great fellowship on the way out. Watch what God is doing. The Lord bless everybody. Have a blessed weekend.